sexual urge. It's not something that you say, oh well, they will be different types of men. No, it'll be the same, but that they will be able to control so much spiritually inclined that they can control, they will control. And he says, I have come to create such a race of men. So this is where we are talking about this child of Baha'i civilization has to grow and become mature and become full of perfections. Now we are in the very darkest period, remember, of the history of man. Now you can't even go, I don't know how it is in here, but in our country a woman cannot go at night alone from here to there. You see? See the vast the difference? So there is another question about the hidden words, and again I would advise you to read it yourself and find out. I entreat thee by thy footsteps in the wilderness and by the words, here am I, which thy chosen ones have uttered in this immensity, and by the breath of thy revelation and the gentle winds of the dawn of thy manifestation, to ordain that I may gaze on thy beauty and observe whatsoever is in thy book. Well, I suppose the things which are probably needs a little explanation here. I entreat thee by thy footsteps in this wilderness. Thy footsteps in the wilderness is what I said before. It is the fact that God, the most great spirit of God, the most great spirit, appeared in the form of a human temple. The human temple who walked on this earth. This wilderness is this earth. You know, in one of his tablets, Baha'u'llah says, all the spiritual worlds of God are crying out and saying, blessed art thou, O earth, for thou hast been made the footstool of thy God. I'm paraphrasing his word. So that really, when you say that thy footsteps in this wilderness, it means God manifesting himself in the form of a human temple. And by the words, here am I, here am I. Now, the word here am I, this is an Islamic reference to an Islamic saying that when in the day of judgment God manifests himself, that peoples of the world will turn to him, will run to him, will go to him, those who are spiritual, those who are recognizing. And this call of here am I means I am your servant, this is what the believers said. This is the call of the believers. This is the call of the early disciples, of the dawn breakers, who come and say, here am I, which thy chosen ones have uttered. Means those people who had been the disciples. They call out. When the Lord appears, they run to him and they recognize him and they say, here am I, here am I. And then, by the breath of thy revelation. Well, this is obvious. The breath of thy revelation means the forces which this revelation has been released in the world. And the gentle winds of the dawn of thy manifestation. These are all expressions of the... you see, again, you can see here that... this is a very interesting word. The gentle winds of the dawn of thy manifestations. Always God, when he manifests himself, the same way as the sun. Go to nature again. The nature will teach us a lesson. When the sun comes out in the morning, it doesn't suddenly blaze upon you with all its energy. It's first very gentle. The rays of the sun, if you stand in the very, very early in the morning in the vast plain and you see how the sun rises, the rays of the sun is very gentle at first. It's the dawn. It's the beginning. It's the early days. And as the sun rises, the energies become more and more evident. And this is exactly the same thing as revelations of God. When Baha'u'llah appeared, the gentle winds of the dawn of his revelation were really obvious. They were gentle. This was a time that Baha'u'llah was in, for instance, the mountains of Kurdistan. Those beautiful some of the beautiful writings he has left behind, although I mentioned the other day that most of his words were not recorded. Some of those beautiful words, you know, that prayer you have, which is translated into English, create in me a pure heart, oh my God. This is, for instance, revealed in the mountains of Soleimani, in the mountains of Kurdistan. Or the other one that I don't know the English of, it was revealed there as well. That's a good way of saying it, isn't it? There are several of them. Create in me a pure heart, isn't it what I said? Yes, this is one of them. And there is another one which is a very favorite prayer of mine, but I don't know which it is in English. From the sweet-scented streams of thine eternity. You know, these are the gentle breezes of the revelation of Baha'u'llah. And when you come further and further into the revelations later on, as the sun rises, you come across those passages when Baha'u'llah identifies himself with Godhead. I am God, you know. The revelation takes its shape of power and authority. This is the face of your Lord. You see? So that here we come to, probably when you look at it, look now when you read it, maybe it will be of some help. And I think this would be sufficient, really, then I'll see you. Friends, what is the program? What are you going to do? Do you want to go on like, you can't go on like this till 4 o'clock, you'll be absolutely, you know, wouldn't you like to have a little break of 10 minutes? I think so. Friends, I always, when it comes to the last session, I feel very sad. This is the session we have to say farewell. Oh, you can't? Can you hear it now? Yes, I was saying that with the last session is always a sad occasion, especially for a visitor. And especially when one sees such a marvelous community, really, as I have seen here in this 2 or 3 days, really. And but this is the way the faith is growing now all over the world, is through the influence and the work of the power of Baha'u'llah. Everywhere that you go, you come across such beautiful faces all over, everywhere you go. Everywhere the friends have become luminous in their work, in their faces, in their spirit, in their work. And this is what gives us encouragement and hope for the future. I don't know what to say, because there are questions and the time is very short, but there's only one or two questions that probably I will deal with it. Now someone asked me a question and I am not sure whether that person is here or not, but maybe he's not or she's not. I will nevertheless say it. And that was the question of punishment. I wanted to know what punishment, whether it's good or bad, when you do something wrong. Should we punish a person who does something wrong? Or should he be dealt with in a lenient way and compassionately and try to not to give him the punishment? Well, I feel that this is very clear in the writings. As you know, in the society, in the outside world, their tendency is to become compassionate, dealing with criminals, dealing with people who do the wrong things, who do some crime, is to be compassionate to them. And there are some theories even lately which say that it is much better to educate people than to punish them. So as more and more people become humanitarian, as people become really less and less religious, they'll become more and more humanitarian. You see, the humanitarian movements which tend to want to brush aside some aspects of such things as punishment and so forth, if you do something wrong, these have been, during the last 30 or 40 years, have been coming up much more to the surface, because religion have become, in these days, have become less and less effective. Whereas the teachings of Baha'u'llah teaches the opposite. And I can tell you what he says, which is very harsh maybe in some cases. He says, if somebody does something which deserves a punishment, give him the punishment and do not become compassionate. For this is justice, he says. I think we can understand that, because he has explained that in some other writings, the wisdom of punishment. Punishment is really a mercy of God, if you look at it in the right way. Punishment for what you do in this life. The reason that the people want to get away from punishment is because they can only see this world, this life here on this earth. That's all they can see. People can see this life on this earth as being the beginning and the end of all things. You're coming into this world, and the intention here, as long as you're here, you must try to make the best of it and get as much as you can get out of it. Isn't that right? This is how people are working. Want to get as much as they can get out of it. At any cost, really. And that if you are to be punished, no, if you can get away with it, it's a marvelous thing. Because your end, your purpose is to have as much as you can get out of this world. Why should you be punished? Now, Baha'u'llah does not share this view at all, because he sees further than this world. You remember in the first day we were saying that this world is not a place to live in. This is only a temporary period for acquiring qualities and perfections. That in the next life, that is where the real life of man begins, in the same way that the life for a child in the womb of the mother is not to be in the womb of the mother, but to be born and to live in this world. Now, Baha'u'llah explained this principle of punishment in this way. He gives an example. He says, if you were to steal from somebody in the summertime a seed of a tree, Say you steal a seed of a tree from somebody in the summer, in the springtime. If you give him back in the springtime the thing that you have stolen, you don't owe him anything. Because you steal it from him, you gave him back. You don't owe him anything. But if you don't give him back in the springtime, what do you owe him in the summer? You owe him a tree, not a little seed, but a tree and the fruits and all the rest of it. You see now the very great wisdom in here? In other words, if I do something wrong in here, if I pay for it here, in this life, my burden in the next world is not much. I don't owe anything to anybody. But if I don't pay it here, how much do I have to pay it in the next life for what I have done and I have not paid for it here? You see now, can you see the wisdom here of punishment? Of how it is a mercy of God, in fact, that in this life, if you pay for it, it is light. But who knows how much you have to pay for it in the next life? You for instance, kill somebody here. Well, this is a terrific crime, taking someone's life. How much is it worth in the next life, do you think? How much do I have to pay for it in the next life? Cannot be estimated. So that This is why Baha'u'llah says that all his commandments are a mercy to him, mercy to man. All the commandments of God, if you look at it, there is a wisdom, there is an understanding. And how much the world is unaware of these spiritual realities, spiritual truths. Well, now, there is one question which has come in here, and it's the last one, and then I will want to really say very little. Then after that, you must have been tired and exhausted of hearing me all the time. Pardon? No. Oh, no. We are talking of institutions. Institutions of humankind. And this, of course, as far as the Baha'is are concerned, the law of Baha'u'llah, the laws that he has brought, these laws are for future of mankind, not for the present society. The present society cannot implement the laws of Baha'u'llah in fullness at all. Until a Baha'i government comes into being, you cannot implement the laws of Baha'u'llah. And it is then the institutions which must, the institutions of government which must then apply the law. There is a question here about the equality of men and women, and that how it is that women are not members of the House of Justice. Well, now, I'll briefly deal with it. You know, Abdul Baha has answered this. He says, in the future, you will know the answer, the reason for it. Now, the future, when the future is, I don't know. Some people think they can know it now. Now, it's up to you to think about it. Some people think, no, they have to wait. I tell you, someone who told me he knew it now, and that was a woman. She said, you know, the members of the House of Justice, do you know what their functions are? First of all, let me put one point in here, which is a very important point. You know, in this life, we have equality of men and women according to the teachings of Baha'u'llah. Equality of men and women in rights and privileges. The fact that men and women are equals is because their souls are equal. The souls of men and women, there is no difference between the soul of a man and a woman. And that is what's important in the sight of God. What is the use of a body? It will be perishing. But the soul is very important. And so when we say that men and women are equal, in the first instance we say that the soul are the same in the sight of God. The second thing we say is that they are equal in rights and privileges. The third thing we can say is that we are not equal necessarily in our functions. And this is true. The functions of men and women, so many functions we are sharing together, and we are equal in our functions. We can do similar things. Man can do something and woman can equally do the same thing. But there are some things which men can do better than women. And some things that women can do better than men. And then there is a third category. There are some things that is exclusive to men and exclusive to women. Which means men cannot, for instance, bear a child. This is exclusive to a woman. You see now how different we are at the same time? So once we understand what we mean by equality of men and women, in the soul, in our rights and privileges, and in some of our functions, but not necessarily in all. And there is, I want to mention another principle, which is a very important principle. We are constantly talking about equality. There is no such a thing as equality, by the way, amongst the human race. In fact, there is no equality in this existence. If you look at nature, there are not two things the same. You cannot find two blades of grass to be the same. Two blades of grass are not the same. Everything is unique. That God has created, everything is unique. Your fingerprints are unique. Ourselves are unique. Even I'm told by some doctors, the cells in the body are unique. In the bloodstream, they say these red globules. One of the doctors was telling me. They can see that each globule is different from another one. They're unique. Millions and billions of them in the body. And your globules in your blood is very different from those of another person. Everything in this creation is unique. And do you know why it is? Baha'u'llah has given us the reason for it, why there is always one of everything. He says that this creation manifests the attributes of God. And one of the attributes of God is oneness.